John chapter 6 is when we're in our series of glorify his name, and I am speaking shorter. Amen. There's a lot of verses in chapter 6, 70 some verses, so we're not going to go through all of it, but it starts with the feeding of the 5,000, which is really more than that, as we know. There was probably 10,000 people there because they only counted the men at that time, and which is kind of a crazy thought, but that's how it's recorded. So there was a lot of people, and they were listening to Jesus' teaching. It's a well-known story. If you have any knowledge or history of the Bible, we talk about the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus, you know, in our journey through John here, he uses very common things. He uses water with the woman at the well. He uses wine with turning water into wine. He uses bread. He uses fish. He's a culinary expert, obviously, around all of this. And so he uses these things that we all relate to teach us a deep spiritual truth. And so he, out of five loaves and two fishes, I always get that backwards, he feeds 10,000 people. Pretty amazing, right? And then there's this section where they're all excited, like, this is our king, let's make him king. And Jesus, once again, slips away, and no one knows where he goes. The disciples are waiting for him. They decide to take their boat over and go to the other side. And a storm comes up, and Jesus comes walking on water. And immediately, they're on the other side. The crowd wakes up the next day and says, where did he go? And they figure out that he's across. And so they all come across, or a lot of them come across to the other side. And they begin this dialogue with Jesus around bread and around eating. And that's what we're going to dive into. So Jesus says to them, I tell you the truth in verse 26, John 6, 26. I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. So this is what he really wants to talk to them about, is not bread and fish and wine and water, but about put your energy towards seeking eternal life. And they go, well, okay, well, what do we do? And then he says this one line. I've got the slide up here. What verse is this? 29. Jesus told them, okay, so this is it. What do we do with this, Jesus? This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he sent. Believe. He wants people to believe. So where is your focus? Where is our focus in all of this? Right? I just read back in 27, that to spend our energy seeking eternal life. And so they're confused with all this, right? I mean, we're at a period where Jesus is teaching spiritual truth, and people are used to practicing practical faith, right? You go to the temple, you do a sacrifice, you do all of this, you follow this law, you listen to all of that. And Jesus is saying, I've got a deeper way to look at that. So he says this in verse 29 and onwards. So he says, this is the only work I want you to do is believe in that. Okay, what do? I tell you the truth. And they go on to say, well, Moses gave us the manna in the journey in the wilderness, right? So why shouldn't we follow you for the same kind of food? And Jesus says, you've got it wrong. Your focus is in the wrong spot. He says, Moses didn't give you the food, didn't give your ancestors the bread from heaven. My Father did. And the true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And when I read that, I think, okay, what does that mean for now? Where do I get my distraction from? right? We just sang that song, I speak the name of Jesus, right? And that's, we know that's where our focus is, but we get focused on church or on this person or on that person or this expression or that expression. And it's not like they're bad in themselves, but are they getting us off focus? Or is our focus off of God and off of, in this case, Jesus? So that's the one first challenge. He challenges the people to change our understanding. Secondly, what's the promise in all of that? And we go to verse 35. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. So this word belief that we're talking about today, Jesus mentions it 8 times in chapter 6. So it's a pretty important focus of all of that. But you know what other phrase he mentions way more than belief? Is this concept of eternal life. So he uses eternal life. He uses never die, you will raise up, you will live. That thought is expressed itself 15 times within this. And it's like, okay, this is where he wants our focus, is on this thing of eternal life. And so how do you tie in our belief, our head, our heart, and our hands into eternal life? What is that connection? The thing I love about the Bible is that it actually helps explain itself. And Hebrews is one of those books. Hebrews is a book that is a great commentary on all the things that Jesus said. And it sort of takes the argument and goes deeper. In Hebrews 10, I found this really cool. The writer says that, because he explains it. So this is what Jesus is really talking about. He says, the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of things to come, not of the good things themselves. And he goes in to talk about the sacrifices that are, the sacrifices system laid out in the Old Testament, how really what it does is it doesn't cleanse. It doesn't heal. That whole system was just a dim, dim shadow of what Jesus is talking about now. And he says, because, I mean, think about it. You come every year to do your sacrifice. What's really happening? Oh, I'm a sinner again. Oh, again, again. There's shame, there's guilt. There's just this cycle that you can't get out of as a follower of God. And Jesus is saying, that is now all abolished, everyone. He says, I did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings, nor were you pleased with them. Then he says this, look, I have come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Christ, and this is key, once and for all. This is a once and for all sacrifice, so that we don't have to keep coming back and we don't have to keep revisiting our separation from God. Yes, there's confessions, and yes, we are humans and we make mistakes, but we have to understand in our belief that this is the revelation that Jesus is talking about him being the bread. And then up on your screen is this last part of Hebrews 10. And he's actually quoting Jeremiah in all of this. So he says, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. And then he says this, I will put my laws in their hearts, okay, our belief in our hearts. I will write them on their minds. Then he says, I will, and this is what God promises, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. And when the sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. So what Jesus is talking about in John and what the writer of Hebrews is explaining to us is that our belief is complete when we understand all that, Lord, that our conviction is there. When our minds understand that this new covenant and this freedom that we have from sin in all of that. And then our wills to do it. And this is where scripture is so amazing that it explains and where we need to go. So back to the original question. And Connie's going to come up in a minute here. So we struggle with shame or guilt or frustration. We're not growing. We may have many different things. And the Lord is always wanting to enhance our belief. And so today, what is that in you? What's the Lord showing you in your heart, in your head, or in the will? Maybe he's asking you to do some very specific things lately, and you're kind of resisting and all of that. So this is between you and the Lord. In a few minutes, we're going to shift into celebrating all of this. We've looked at Jesus' words and the struggle that the people and even the disciples were trying to figure out in all of this. We take our belief into prayer and that the Lord is there in all of these situations. And in verse 63, after everyone is gone, the disciples he's asking, do you still believe? Because he lost some followers with this conversation. This is a hard thing for them to get. And he says this, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. This is God's plan. He doesn't have a backup plan. This is his whole design for humanity and his creation. Last week at the men's event, Eric shared on a little bit, if you're here last Sunday, we dove into, we used the great story of David and Goliath as our basis for our discussion. And David understood this. So you've got, in the earthly form, you got the Philistines, a more powerful army, the giants of Goliath and others. He wasn't the only giant amongst them. And you've got this fledgling army from Israel. And they're being challenged on a human level, right? And Goliath is saying, we will defeat the armies of Israel. And everyone's shaking in fear. And David's going like, wait a minute. We're seeing this the wrong way. He says this, I come to you, and he showed him back to Goliath at this point, in the name of the Lord's heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And everyone assembled here will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. What a perspective. Doesn't that change everything? Is that we don't operate in the flesh. We don't operate in what we just see in our physical. There is something deeper and bigger. The name of the Lords of Heaven's armies. I read that passage in Hebrews, which is really from Jeremiah. And later on in Jeremiah, as you read, he's talking about this great and amazing God. And he goes, what is his name? His name is the Lord of Heaven's armies. This is God's plan. In Psalm 46, one of my favorite psalms, right? This, that perspective. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and when the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. For the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos, right? People's lives may be in chaos, and all the things that we deal with, that, as Pastor Connie walked us through. But God's voice thunders, and earth melts, and the Lord of heaven's armies is here amongst us. The God of Israel is our fortress. This is his plan. He not just saves us. He not just promises us eternal life. He wants our belief to change how we view everything. This is God's plan for us. He didn't have a backup. So we're going to sing, and I want to do a prayer with you as we go into all of this. I shared a little bit earlier that 2019 was a year of real me pressing into this in my own journey. And this whole, that what we just read in Psalms about he will rescue you and he will rescue me. He doesn't forget. And this is the greatest thing ever, is when that belief translates into how we view and see life. Amen? So pray with me, and then I'll turn it back over to the worship team here. And it's actually going to use the words from a song called Rescue by Lauren Daigle, who must have been very much into these same passages. And I want you to receive this, and I'll say the word you, because that's the words in there, but put your name in there. And when it says I, that's obviously God speaking. So receive this prayer. God says, you are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you have been broken, and maybe your innocence stolen, I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send an army to find you. In the middle of the darkest night, it's true, I will rescue you. There is no distance that cannot be covered. Over and over, you are not defenseless. I will be your shelter. I will be your armor. Amen.